So I would say that, and this is not specific to us either, that enrollment as a whole in public school has gone down. One, people aren't reproducing as quickly, right? But also we've learned from COVID that a lot of parents are choosing virtual schools for their kids. So now we're all not just competing with each other. With School of Choice in Michigan, you can go to any school that you can get to and get into. And charters are part of that as an option of a school, but now all of the virtual schools are as well. So really trying to become marketing gurus in why our school, why choose Marshall Academy. Virtual sounds great, and some virtual schools are great at what they do, but just like every other school, some are better than others.
Yes, they are. Yeah, for sure.
Just trying to get why Marshall Academy is different and why you should choose us, why we're a great choice for your family in the community, and getting that out as much as possible to help with enrollment.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Leslie Katz. Leslie is the director of Marshall Academy Public School, and that's in Marshall, Michigan. Leslie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Janet.
So tell everybody a little bit about your role and about Marshall Academy.
Sure. So as the director of a small public school academy, I wear a lot of hats. So director encompasses principals, superintendent, a little bit of counseling, scheduling, that kind of thing. So it's really organizing all the different parts of the school, because we are a preschool through senior graduation school, so pre-K through 12th grade. We even do dual enrollment and have an early middle college program. So we have a lot of pieces in our small supportive school, and I have to organize all of those.
Wow. So how many students do you guys have?
Roughly, we sit around 250 for the number of students we have.
A decent size, though. That's really nice.
Yeah, but it's enough to have small class sizes in our elementary, especially. You know, they sit around 20 kids in a classroom. So that's
nice.
Really,
yeah, nice. Awesome. So how long have you had the preschool and the high school? I think you told me a little bit that didn't start that way.
Yeah. So initially, the school started as an elementary school as an option for parents in the community. And in 2007, they officially opened the high school. And that's when I started at Marshall Academy, was in 2007 when the high school opened. And then we've had a paid for pre-K program for a couple years, and we just moved to the GSRP program with the state. And so that's free pre-K for all is what we're pushing. So that was new for us last year.
And what does that acronym stand for, GSRP? Do you know?
Right. Start Readiness Program.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry, yeah. I put you on the spot. But we as educators love our acronyms. Oh. We really, really do. My son is in the Air National Guard, and they're worse. I swear they're worse. But, you know, not since this goes out to the nationally, I want to make sure that when we use an acronym that everybody is on the same page. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. So one of the things that we had talked about also was the issue that there's so many people that are experiencing really severe teacher shortages. How are you guys managing that?
So what we've done, and we've been fortunate with support with funding through the state, is we've had to grow a lot of our own teachers. It's called a Grow Your Own program. And so what we've done is we've found people who have a bachelor's degree in something, some field that they were interested in for college, did something else, and now they're interested in maybe tackling education. So we've certified several people over the years. There's a lot of alternative certification programs. There's hashtag teach. There's innovators in education. There's some programs just through community colleges and things. So it's really trying to find the right person and then getting them the certification, because finding people who are certified and already ready to go, it's slim pickings, if any.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's a challenge and hopefully legislators as well. So I've heard that there's a lot of really great programs going on in Michigan for that. And it's fantastic that you can do that. How did you guys find out about this, or how did this come to be that you started growing your own? I love that. I love that term, growing your own. That's fantastic.
It was an opportunity brought to schools in Michigan to help with that. So as a charter school, we have a what's called a management company, and they kind of run your HR and do some other logistics.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
They help make sure that we have certified staff. And so they are aware of it, and they helped promote us getting people and finding people. So we have a good relationship with that management company that helps us. And they help a lot with the federal grants and the state grants and doing all the paperwork to make sure we qualify for funding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one. And it's a lot of paperwork, I'm sure. You know, having a charter. And I mean, I started my own company 7 years ago, and boy, you talk about all of those, you were talking about all those different roles, and I'm like, yep. I did, you know, I've done all of those things. Fortunately, we're big enough now that I've been able to give quite a bit of it away, which is why I can do this podcast. You know, I get to do the fun stuff now and not the stuff that used to drive me up a wall. So, yeah. So what would you say is your biggest, you know, as other than teachers, what other things are you struggling with, or what are your biggest challenges that you face right now? And what do you think are some ways that you're planning on overcoming it? Because I can tell you're a planner, which is awesome.
Thank you. So I would say that, and this is not specific to us either, that enrollment as a whole in public school has gone down. One, people aren't reproducing as quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But also we've learned from COVID that a lot of parents are choosing virtual schools for their kids. Mm-hmm. So now we're all not just competing with each other. With School of Choice in Michigan, you can go to any school that you can get to and get into. Mm-hmm. And charters are part of that as an option of a school, but now all of the virtual schools are as well. So really trying to become marketing gurus in why our school, why choose Marshall Academy. Virtual sounds great, and some virtual schools are great at what they do, but just like every other school, some are better than others.
Yes, they are. Yeah, for sure.
Just trying to get why Marshall Academy is different and why you should choose us, why we're a great choice for your family in the community, and getting that out as much as possible to help with enrollment. Because bottom line, if I don't have kids, I can't pay my teachers. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the smaller class sizes is lovely, and individualized education. And so what kind of programs, let's talk about Marshall Academy. What kinds of things sets you guys apart from the rest of Marshall?
So what really sets us apart is honestly that size. It is sometimes a gift and sometimes a curse, right? So it's a gift in that we have those small class sizes. It's wonderful that we build relationships with students over the years. We just graduated a senior class, and four of those boys I've known since they were in kindergarten. So really get to know the families, really build those relationships. And that's what we're really good at. And that's helpful for a lot of students. Students perform when they know someone cares about them and is pushing them. And so that's really what we strive to do. And just getting parents to realize that A, we exist. Some still aren't sure about us. They still have misconceptions about being an academy, that there's tuition, but it's a free public school. So again, just getting the word out and educating people that we're here, we're an option. We're not going to be great for everybody, but if you want that small school and that family feel the whole time, we're your spot.
Yeah. And the fact that you can start in pre-K and just go all the way to graduating from high school. That's a great thing. That's a great thing.
It's great for families, because if you have a pre-K and an elementary and a middle school and a high schooler, you're on one schedule. You're on one calendar. Everything's the same. It's the same bus routes. You don't have different early release dates for kids.
True.
So that can be really helpful. I know some parents who try to juggle multiple schools with an elementary, middle school, and high, and I just don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. It is tough. It's not for the faint of heart, for sure. Having lots of kids too. And then you add in Michigan weather on top of it. Like I said, I don't live there now. I live in Corpus Christi, Texas now, and I'm enjoying the weather. It's actually, today is, for those of you that are listening, is June 20th, and it is the first day of summer. So love that. Love that it's the first day of summer, but yeah, that weather, Michigan weather in November, December, January, can be tough. can be tough. Yeah. So, okay. So what other things would you want people to know about Marshall or about what's happening in education? Because there's so many things happening. And I know we as educators, sometimes we see it and we deal with it and we don't even think about what we're dealing with, you know? So.
Well, I guess something that is important to address to educators and parents alike is that we have a shift in culture and we're all aware of it. We just aren't 100% sure how to deal with it.
Right.
But this technology age that we're in and that our kids have grown up with their entire lives.
Right.
And it's really something important to know that your teachers, parents are trying to put on the best show they can every day just to keep your kids' attention because they're so used to the technology and the screens and the instant gratification. And pushing them to challenge themselves or to even push through boredom and difficult tasks is becoming increasingly harder. So it's very important as parents to watch what your kids are doing and maybe limit some of that, or at least give them challenges at home of how to do multi-step things, how to push through difficulty. Because if we as teachers are the only ones doing that, it becomes that much harder to get them to achieve.
Yeah. And, you know, people have talked a lot about AI and how, you know, the instant information is instantly at our fingers. And it was before, I mean, the internet was making it that way anyway. And now we have AI and it's like, how do I do this particular thing? Or tell me all that you know about this thing. And it's just there. But it doesn't change the fact that we still have to problem solve and learn and manage our social emotional what's going on inside of us. And all of that is stuff that happens at school and at home. And, you know, at any time as you're growing up, you're going to have to figure that out. And it's something that even though we have all of this, right, it's all available right here at our fingertips. It doesn't change the fact that we still have to grow to be functioning and adults, right? And
We have to be responsible with the technology. We have to build that. And really, one of the skill sets we have to address now is, yes, you get information from AI. How much of it can you trust? Do you need to check your sources just like you did? You know, there used to be peer-reviewed articles for anything that was published. Now it's just AI. Is it accurate? Mm-hmm. So really getting kids to critically think about the information that's being fed to them and what to do with it.
Yeah, that critical thinking piece of it I think I went to executive function. It's the same, similar. But yeah, it's just, yeah, being a smart person or a savvy, that's the word I want, I guess, is savvy as to what you're getting and what's being fed to you and whether or not, and investigating it for yourself, right? Thinking for yourself. And so much of society, and we're so split right now. The country's so split. It breaks my heart, you know, just to see the angst and and I don't like to be political, and that's certainly not something that I'm trying to do now, but it's just, you have to think, you know, if you're only listening to this particular thing, are they just feeding you the information that they want you to hear? Or are you on either side? It doesn't, you know, one side or the other, it doesn't matter. It doesn't seem like there's anybody. And I know there's websites and news feeds that say that they're non-biased and all of that. But is it really? I mean, that's a good, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. And when it doesn't matter what age you are, but if you're young and impressionable, you really, you know, parents will feed their children what they believe, and they're their first lead, their first teacher. But then you go to school, and then you have this, and you have your friends, and it's a lot. Yeah,
it is a lot. And to your point about learning to regulate emotions, we struggle with students learning to build friendships and maintain them and regulate those emotions, because sometimes school is the only time they're really being social with people in person. They're so used to online communicating or talking and texting on a phone. And so once you add tone and facial expression, they start to get very confused and they struggle. A lot of kids struggle.
Yeah. And messages, you can take a message and change the message simply by changing the inflection of, now we're getting into speech therapy. I'm a speech therapist of 31 years. So, you know, just change the tone, change the, you know, and you can say something and totally turn your head away. And it's a totally different conversation because now I'm saying something to you, but I'm not really interested in what you're saying because I really don't care. And they, if they don't know that, And then there's all of the security and, oh, that's even more, you know, it's just like, it's a tough world. It's a tough world and they have to learn to navigate it. And us older people, we throw up our hands and go, you know, it's frustrating, but it's not going away.
No,
not at all.
Not by any means. And, you know, some of the things, if we're going to go back to Marshall Academy and what makes us a little different, perhaps, is that we have a classical background and we may not have the traditional classical curriculum, but we still have some of those, what we would call old school education models. We still teach cursive. We still do things with novel studies and reading actual books. We don't spend a lot of time on technology at school. They're not allowed to have their phones from the second school starts at 8 until 3 o'clock. We do have technology in the classrooms, but it's limited in elementary and even in middle school and high school. It's a tool, teach them how to use it, but they still need to be handwriting. They still need to be reading books. They still need to be talking about things that are happening and not always go to that smartphone for an answer.
Right. That's great. That's really, it sounds like a great place. And, the kids are going to be, developing critical skills that they might not someplace else. And that's fantastic. So good. Kudos to you. I know that cell phone piece is, I've talked to several, leaders like yourself who are just like, no. And the second that the cell phone goes off, even if it's just a notification, and I'm looking this way because my cell phone's over there, but my cell phone's off to the right, you know, but the second that you get a notification, your concentration and what you were working on, that piece is just broken. And kids already have enough trouble focusing. And then we're going to add this cell phone that's going to interrupt us 50 times a day. How many times does your notifications go off? And even you and I experienced it here, didn't we? We were trying to get this podcast started and a call came in and it cut everything off. And it was just really interesting. So we started over. So it could have changed the dynamics of what we did. We're adults. We figured it out. We moved through it. But kids have to do that too. And they have to, and the second you give them a cell phone, they have to do that all the time because that piece of technology, if you don't take it away or don't set it aside or don't, and us as adults, I'm as guilty as anybody else. This morning I was out to dinner with my kids or breakfast. We go to breakfast we have a family business. So every Friday we try to go out and my husband usually comes with us, but he wasn't feeling well. So it was my two daughters, my daughter, my son, and myself. And I had gotten a message. And so for the first 5 minutes or so, I was on my phone and I realized that's not why you're here. That's not we go and have dinner or lunch or breakfast or whatever it is to be with our families. And yet here we are. And then when I did it, because I'm the leader, right? I'm the mom, the adult in the even though they're grown, they both were on their phones. And I was like, I sat back and after I was done. And as soon as I was done, my kids know. I'm like, if I don't allow phones on at the table in our house, but we were out eating at a restaurant. But the second I set it down, then they finished what they were doing because I've taught them that. But it has to be something that you teach them, right? But as adults, the point I was trying to make, sorry, was that we're guilty sometimes, or even more so than the kids.
Yeah. I try to think of my phone as this is a way for me to do things and for me to save time, not so people can have 100% access to me all the time. So I don't always respond right away. I don't need to do that. I got a smartwatch just when I became a principal so that it could alert me when I have a calendar event because I could remember all the time and I don't want to have my phone out all day. When the kids have their phones at school, I'm trying to model that. And so it just gives me, oh, you're supposed to be in this room for a meeting. let's get there. It doesn't have email come through it or anything. It's really just the time and the calendar so that I can get places without having my phone out all the time.
Yeah, my daughter has a, she bought a tablet and she's our, she works for us. We're a family business. She's 27 and she's like, Mom, no business is on this phone. I do not have my work email. I do not have no work on this. And it, you know, it's still a device, but it's a device where if she gets on that tablet, she knows that nothing work related. So she's learning how to regulate herself as well. And I was like, well, good for you. That's really awesome that you can do that, you know, and you don't have to tell them. But it's definitely a societal thing that is impacting our schools for sure. Okay, so I have one last question, Leslie. I ask every single, I try to get every single one of my podcast people, I try to ask this question. And you cannot answer money because we all need more money. Everybody needs more money. I don't know anybody that doesn't have, that could say, my school is fully funded and everything is fabulous. I have yet to have somebody say that to me. But if you could miraculously solve one challenge, just one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
One challenge in my school.
Just have it be gone.
I think the facetious answer is I would love technology to work all the time.
Yeah, true.
Right.
That's funny.
I think the challenge that I would like to disappear is having enough staff who can talk to kids in moments of crisis.
Very good.
It's difficult being so many hats, right? And there's other staff who are qualified to work with kids in crisis and those moments. But if you could just have one person that every kid could go to, that's their person, and they know that, I think that would solve a lot of problems in school.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for your time and struggling through the technology with me. I certainly appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing. So where would people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you or Marshall Academy?
Well, we have a great website. It's www.marshallacademy.org. So you can go there, and it links you to our app or Facebook. We love our social media accounts, and so do parents. They love to see their kids. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always so fun when you see your kids. Oh, that's mine. That's my child. That's my. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks again for being on the Brighter Together podcast. I appreciate that because, you know, we really are brighter together.
We're all in this together. It's not a competition. We all want kids to grow.
Amen. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.